The message you're about to hear was recorded live at Grace Life Family Church, Abuja, where God is raising a new generation of believers. We are confident that His word will bless you and open your eyes to who you are in Christ. In the
name of Jesus. Began last Sunday talking about revealing the man in Christ. That's the journey we are on. Revealing the man in Christ. Or what I have come to call the I Christ man. You'll get to understand that term later. The I Christ man. The man in Christ. The man in Christ. The in Christ man. The man of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just begin by telling you that this country, this nation, the world is to see the full manifestation of the sons of God. And why is that? It's because we have not been told who we are. We have been told who we are not. We have been told what we must do to become something. But the day a man realizes who he is, what God has made out of him, things begin to shake around him. Somebody say amen. And I say, you are going to shake your communities in the name of Jesus. I said, you are going to shake your communities. And where there's a need, God makes you a provider. That you are not the one running from helter to skelter. She been so they take talking from Nigeria. Running up and down. Running up and down. Looking for salvation. No, sir. You are designed that wherever you step in, salvation steps in there. That's how you are designed. The problem is, we have not been told who we are. And so like blind people, we are walking around. It's like men who are alive living like dead men. And that is the greatest challenge before the body of Christ. But thank God He's raised up voices, teachers, pastors, who He's revealing this mystery unto, so that the church may come to its full place. Somebody say amen. I don't know about you, I'm so excited because I can see, I can taste, I can see what is happening. And so we began this journey, and I will repeat how this started. I was teaching the book of Ephesians, and like I've said many times, only God knows how many times I've read Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. Suddenly it says something that took us to another dimension. Now please, this is a continuation from where we stopped last Sunday. The audio message of last Sunday is in the church WhatsApp group. I plead with you to follow through. All you have to do is to download it to your phone. It's a few megs. Because if you're playing it online, you run your data. So you can download it to your phone so you can play over and over so you will catch up. But however, I'm going to do a little bit of recap from last Sunday to set a foundation for what we're about to say. Are you ready this morning? Okay, so listen to me carefully. Just like what I said this morning, the religion has told the man in Christ that he needs to be blessed. And so we have a lot of programs designed to make the man blessed. And so the man is running, looking for what strategy or what key he might use to unlock the blessings of God. It's like somebody who is a son who does not know that he's a son. He thinks he's a slave. So he's trying to become a son. He's reading books on how to become a son, but the man is already a son. And the greatest miracle happens in the life of that man the day he realizes that he's a son. And then suddenly everything changes. God is taking us to a journey as a church. And it is important that you know what this journey is. Like I've said before, the word of God given to us here is not just Bible to preach. It's the gospel of Christ that is also a direction for us to where we're going to. So as you follow the word, you start to understand the complete will of God for you. And the directions begin to become clearer to you, so there's no longer a confusion. If you've been following us briefly, you realize that now it is almost impossible for somebody to deceive you. When somebody comes and tell you those stories, you can sit them down. When they finish shaking, you can sit them down and open the Bible for them. Remember, it's not what you see, it's what is written first. And so, we began to talk about this, not because we're looking for something else to say, but I have always been aware and conscious of the fact that God is leading us to a journey. And that journey is for you, is for me. That finally, you can look around at yourself. You know that the best thing that has ever happened to you is that you are born again. Somebody say amen. Is that you are born again. Is that you are born again. That's the greatest thing that would have happened. The reason it has not seemed so to you now is because we've made the born again thing almost like a laughter, almost like a joke thing. Yes, it's like we have a form of godliness, but the power is not there. Until the man realizes who he is, he will continue to struggle. Satan will continue to harass him. But the day he realizes who he is, he doesn't need to speak a word. The devil himself will make a U-turn. That's what it's supposed to be. So let me begin. I will need to rephrase some of the things because these are key truths. We build precept upon precept. One thing that I said here last Sunday was this. For long, we've been taught that God, because I asked the question, why did God create heaven and earth? And it's important we understand. Because we are told that God was in heaven and he needed a colony. He wanted to express himself in a colony. And then he created man and gave man dominion. And because man lost that dominion, Christ now had to come to redeem man. That is the foundation of most gospel messages. That's what we've been taught. But then when I countered Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, can you put it on the board? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, that's where this began. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. It says, let's all read like a mass choir. Everybody look up, let's read like a mass choir. 1, 2, go. If we go with that understanding, then it means that Christ was not the reason. It makes Christ look like an afterthought. It makes Christ look like something God had to come up with because there was a mistake. Now, but when I read this place, the Bible says even before he made the world, he had chosen. He chose to love us. He loved us and chose us in who? Christ. That is before the world was made. So, that brings me to the point that it means that no, Christ was not an emergency arrangement to repair a problem. Christ was not something that God came up with because there was a problem. No, Christ has been the reason for creation. Somebody say amen. Christ himself, mark these words, is the essence of creation. And I'm going to show you this. But well, let's just read some scriptures. John, give me John. Let's read John chapter 1 first. Let's go John chapter 1. We read from 1 to 4. We want to establish the fact that Christ is the reason, is the essence of life. And earth was created for Christ. By him, for him, and everything is in him. Okay, let's look up John chapter 1. Verse 1, it reads, in the beginning, that was in the beginning, right? In Genesis. Because once I saw Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, that took me back to Genesis. So, look at this. It says, in the beginning, the word already existed. Ben, give me either King James or New King James Version. In the beginning was the word, right? And the word was with God, and the word was God. You know, one of the problems we have is that God is too much that our natural minds cannot understand Him. It takes the Spirit of God to unveil God to you. So what man has done is to look for natural explanations. And that has gotten us a lot of problems. Now, this is difficult to explain. In the beginning was the Word. Watch that. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. See, diverse manifestations. But I'm not explaining this now because this is not my message. I just want to tell you, show you that Jesus is the essence. Somebody say essence. Meaning the reason, the core, the heavens and the earth was created. Jesus was not, because if we go with that first idea we had, it means that if Adam did not sin, then there would have been no need for Jesus. Hear me out very clearly. If we go with the line of thought that God created the world just because He wanted a family, and then when the man sinned, God had to bring Jesus into the picture, it means that if man did not sin, then there would have not been reason for Jesus. That makes Jesus an afterthought. But the Bible is telling us here that in the beginning, He was there. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know that this is Jesus. Because go to the next line. He says He was in the beginning God. Next line. Watch that. All things. Somebody say all things. Let me hear you say all things. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. That's Jesus. Next line. And He says, in Him, come on, in Him was life. And you're going to see a choice for this life down the line. If you're following, some things will start to become clear to you. Remember, what I've been doing since last Sunday is to put pillars. We have not gotten to the application of the message itself. It's very important that you follow me carefully. In Him was life. No wonder down the line, Jesus now says, I came that you may have life. Because in Him, from the very beginning, in Him, in Christ, was life. And then the life was the light of men. The light was the light. Give me Colossians chapter 1, 15 to 17. I want to show you the same thing again. Please follow me carefully. Follow me carefully. He said, this is talking about Jesus. He says, He is the image of the invisible God. Look at that one. The firstborn over all creation. So Jesus couldn't have been an after arrangement. Jesus couldn't have been somebody that God manifested because there was a problem. No, the Bible says that He is the firstborn of all creation. Next line. For by Him all things were created that are where? In heaven and where? On earth. By Jesus all things were created, both the things in heaven and on earth. Follow me carefully. Listen to where this is going to land us. Let me just give you a little bit of a tip. You cannot know who you are, and you cannot manifest who you are until you understand who Jesus is. Who you are is a reflection of who Christ is. And the more you see Him and behold Him, the more you are transformed to conform exactly to His image. Now, it bears me the reason to question why you'll be cursed. Then you look at yourself and you know that failure does not exist where you are. You know the problem with man? You know the problem? Even the church, we have reduced the church to so much carnality, to so much materialism that, somebody could hear me saying this and they ask, Pastor, how this one wait? What is this one way they talk? How I want to put food for my table? All this thing you are talking about, Jesus was this from the beginning. How I want to, pay my house rent. Maybe the reason you don't have food on your table is because you don't know who you are. And I cannot help you by commanding food on your table. The best help I can render to you is to let you know who you are. Somebody say amen. Amen. And then suddenly, you will be the one to question why food will not be on your table. It's not me. I don't have to convince you about that. You will know. There's a knowing. Suddenly, you realize that the word failure is not part of your own seeing system. It's not part of your DNA. I don't have to convince you about that. You will know about yourself. And so you got to follow me. We are going somewhere, step by step. So, by him, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. Not just on earth. But things that are visible and what? Invisible. Whether it is thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. The Bible says all things were created through him and for him. All things were created through him and for him. We are going somewhere. And he is before all things. And in him all things consist. That is in Christ. When you hear question, this one is basic English. When you hear all, what does all mean? What does all mean? Everything now. So if all is in him, then what is left? Nothing. All things consist in him. So I the reason I brought up these scriptures is to let you know that Jesus is the essence of creation. Jesus was not an emergency arrangement. Jesus was not somebody that God brought up because something wrong happened. No, he reappeared because we missed him from the beginning. we are getting somewhere. He was represented to us because we missed him from the beginning. But I want to tell you that he was the reason for the beginning. There was no beginning without Christ. And when you start to realize that you are now one with this Christ, I don't need to prophesy for you for things to begin to happen where you are. When you start to realize that you are now one, you are united, that this Christ is not separate from you and you are not separate from him. I don't need to teach you prayer principles because your prayers will change. Your expectations for life will change. The way you see things will start to change. We spend a lot of time doing those things because man, the man in Christ, has not come to the full knowledge of who he is. And we cannot until we know Christ. It's by knowing Christ that we know ourselves. So, you know, when I saw these revelations, it took us back to the beginning. Now we cannot go back. If Jesus was the reason, has always been the reason, is the reason, we cannot go back to the beginning. We cannot go back to Genesis and go and see some things for ourselves. And that's what we did last Sunday. And I said this, that Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, the other statement I made last Sunday, which you must know, please, if you're writing, you've got to write this down. You need to get those messages and listen over and over and again. You know, because, let me tell you this, you know, in this race, overtaking is allowed. You know that, right? Overtaking is allowed. No, it's true. Overtaking is allowed. So you can stay there and be saying, you know, this imposter is saying, I don't know. No, the reason you don't know is because you know. You don't know. Now you need to know. Somebody say amen. Let me hear you say a louder amen. You need to know. You need to know. And when you know that you know that you know, you will not be the one making excuses. Pastor, that thing, you know, even though it's like this, you know, this God thing, no. No, you become a mouthpiece yourself. Because not only have you seen, but you have experienced it. It becomes an intimate, personal, and precise revelation. And so we went back to the beginning, back to Genesis. That's what we did. And we said that the man that God created, Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, let's look at that. Genesis 1, 26, 27. I'm just recapping from last Sunday. And so if you get the message, and by the grace of God, at the end of the service or by tomorrow morning, this same message will be in the WhatsApp group. So you can go and play back over and over again. Let me tell you what will happen. You will know that you start to get this message when you start to see yourself in a different light, that's what's going to happen. That you are one with this Christ, you start to see yourself in a different light. That's when you know that you are beginning to understand what I'm saying. All right. Then God said, let us make man in our image. This is Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And this is where the confusion came from, because when the Bible said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and then go to verse 27, and then in verse 27, it says, and God created man in his own image. He didn't say likeness, in his own image. We just assumed that the man who was created in verse 27 is the man that God says in verse 26. That's where the confusion is. When God says, let us make man, first of all, we established last Sunday by the scriptures that when God said, let us create man, he wasn't talking about a particular man. He wasn't talking about Adam. He was talking about mankind. Let us make, that's why the New Living Translation says, let us make human beings in our image. Let us make mankind in our image. What we assumed was, when God said, let us make man in our own image, then the man he made in 27 was according to the image and likeness of God. So for long, we have been teaching that Adam had the image and likeness of God. But we established last Sunday that this man God created was supposed to make a choice. And when he makes that choice, it is that his choice that will now make him to become like God. The man was supposed to make a choice. And why was this important? Without the man making a choice, you cannot say he has free will. If the only way to test free will is to give you choice. That's the only way to test free will. If I say I give you a free will, and there is no two things to choose from, there's no proof that you have free will. You must have to make a choice. So creation was still in the process. I want you to understand that. God had done his own part. The man he created was supposed to play a part by making a choice. And it is in that choice that the man will become like God or not like God. Please follow me carefully. The man was supposed to make a choice. And that choice will be his own, by his own free will. He had to know that there was another alternative but to make the right choice. If the man had made that choice, the man cannot become in the image and be like God. Remember the word image. You can make an image of myself. It looks like me, but it doesn't have my characters. You can make a mold of me and put here and call that image Pastor Chidi, but you know it's not me because it's just an image. The only way it becomes me is when he starts to talk like me, think like me, behave like me. And then in that case, if I have that, I can travel and he will be here. I wouldn't know the difference. Why? Because he looks exactly like me and he does exactly like me. Does that make sense? But you see, this creation was still in process. And then for man to make this choice, we established that the reason the Garden of Eden was created was for a place for the man to make this choice. In fact, the Bible says that God took him, took the man he created, and put him inside Eden. Eden is not a fairy tale. It's not some part of... No, you have to know that when God does things, he does it for a purpose. This man was put in Eden because he was supposed to make a choice. And this choice was there in Eden for him to make. If you now understand what I'm saying, you can now go back and read the book of Genesis and these things will start to line up for you. He was there to make a choice. Adam was in the garden to make a choice. And that choice was what was going to make him to become like God or not like God. Now we're going to get to that, what that choice is. But before I get there, let me also bring to your notice, to your attention, that, listen to me, that this is not the only place saw a garden and a choice. After this, the other place we saw a choice being made was Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. I need Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. you can see what happened, that Jesus was also faced with a choice. This time around, he was in the wilderness. But this is what I wanted to show you. Before you read the temptation of Jesus by the devil, look at the first line. It says, then Jesus was led up by who? By who? No, let me hear you say it loud. By who? Who led Jesus into the wilderness? Who? Was it the devil that put him inside there? No. In fact, this was the first assignment of the Holy Spirit upon the life of Jesus, if you follow it in chronology. Because this was immediately after Jesus was baptized, the Holy Ghost came upon him. The next line says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Very interesting. And you see that that is the same thing that God did, that God took the man that he created and put him in a place where he was going to be tempted. He was supposed to make a choice. But today I can dance. Because when the first man made a mistake, the second man did not make a mistake. Hallelujah. Where Adam missed it, glory be to Jesus that he got it right. And what was this temptation? The devil came and said, if you are the Son of God, then turn stones to be bread. Number one, was Jesus hungry? Yes, he was very hungry because he had fasted for 40 days. In fact, the Bible says after 40 days, he was hungry. So if Jesus had turned stones into bread, was that a sin? No, there was no sin in that. But what made it a great temptation? He would be doing it to prove who he is. Follow me carefully. Apart from this, if you look at the pattern of God, when the scriptures open for you, you see that the pattern of God aligns. Apart from this, where else did we see a garden? Is there any place else in the Bible that we see a garden? Think, church. Where else do we see a garden in the Bible? Where? The garden of where? Gethsemane, another garden. And what was it about this garden? Somebody say choice. Jesus was again put inside a garden to make a choice. And what was that choice? Whether it is my will or who? Your will, God. You can see the pattern of God is revealed clearly in the Bible. So this man was put in the garden to make a choice. And that choice was clearly to him. Give me Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 to 17. Let's see what that choice was. It was made clearly to him. What this choice was going to be. Genesis chapter 2, verse 10. You got to pay attention because I'm teaching. I'm not preaching to you this morning. I'm teaching. And if you follow me, listen to me. I don't say these things just because I think I should get you excited. No, because I know it is the truth. I know what the result of this will be. If you pay attention and follow, you see what you will become from understanding this. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Somebody say, freely eat. Let me hear you loud and freely eat. Say it like you mean it. Freely eat. You may not just eat, you may freely eat. Next line. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. Now this is the choice. The choice is being made clear to the man now. God is telling him, you know, it now made more sense to me. While once God created man, the first thing he told him is to eat from the trees, from the fruit of the trees. That's the first thing the man heard. You must eat. The trees are for you. The fruits are for you. Because that's what we were supposed to do. But now the choice is presented to him. You may eat of every other tree. Does that include the tree of life? Yes. Because he said you may eat of every other tree, but except one particular one. And what is that one? The tree of good, of knowledge. Let me hear you say knowledge. Come on, let me hear you say knowledge. Remember, the word of God is supposed to impart knowledge into you. And what that word is supposed to do is to remove the knowledge that has kept you down so far. Can I tell you something? I wish this is something I can prophesy over you. I wish this is something I can command. It comes to you. No, It doesn't work that way. Because everybody has to house this. You have to house this in yourself. You have to understand this. You have to know what it is. It has to be part of you. And then you start to talk now like I'm talking. It's not, oh, you know, that and pastor said, but you know, like you know, that is real. Praise God. Are you with me so far? Okay. So, the choice is made clear to them here by saying, you may eat of every other tree. That includes the tree of life. But the only one you should not eat is the one of knowledge of good and evil. He said, you shall not eat. And the consequence was made clear. If you make this choice, this is what the consequence will be. He says, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, listen to me. People might dispute whether the Garden of Eden was a metaphor or was whether it was physical. But what we know of sure is what happened and the result of what happened when they were there. God said to them, look, it's not that God is going to kill them. No, but he said, if you make this choice, this is what the answer will be. In other words, he gave them the choice between life and death. Presented to them in the concept where it was easy for them to understand. Remember, they were in a garden full of trees. This thing was presented to them in a concept for them to understand. That if you eat of this tree, you can eat of every other tree. But the day you eat of this particular one, you shall surely die. The Hebrew translation there says, in dying, you shall die. The day Adam ate this, he didn't drop dead and died. He died after 900 years. But what it means is that the day you shall eat of this, spiritually, you will die. And then eventually, physically, you will die. That's what the Bible says. In dying, you shall die. That's what this translation says. You shall surely die. The end of the one who eats of this fruit is death. I know sometimes this is not the kind you're talking and jumping. I'd rather stay put that you may get this. This is where the key is. You want to live a life where you are no longer struggling to survive. This is where it is. You want to live a life where you're experiencing the presence and the fullness of God every single moment. This is where it is. It is in these revelations. So, the choice was clear. Take this one, you will die. Eat of every other one, you'll be okay. Now, one thing that now jumped out at me, I realized that somehow, for some reason, I don't know now, it appears to me that the devil knew that these people were there to make a choice. And that's where the temptation came. He knew that they were there to make a choice. That's why he brought them. Why was this thing so significant that he changed the equation of all things? Why was it so significant? And do you know why? I can tell you confidently that they were there to make a choice. Because once the choice was made, once they made the wrong choice, they were driven out of the Eden. Because that's why they were there. Once they made the wrong choice, God removed them from Eden. And it's important we understand that. Now, what I want us to look at is this today. Maybe next Sunday, I talk about the tree of life, what it is. Then this message will start to get a little clearer. What I'm saying will start to bear fruit in your spirit first. The way God works is this. He lightens up your spirit that you may see, and then you experience. What is it about this tree of knowledge of good and evil? So, look up, everybody. For many years, we were told that Adam ate apple or something, right? So if you look at it, but why, how did we come up with that? When the Bible told us exactly what it is, it says knowledge. If you eat this fruit, it will give you this knowledge. Whatever it is, in whatever form it is, whether it was apple or orange or mango, we don't know. The only thing we know is what the tree was supposed to do. One was supposed to give them life. One was supposed to give them knowledge of good and evil, which will eventually lead them to death. Now, let's look at it. Knowledge. Knowledge. But look at it closely. It says knowledge of good first. That means there's good in it. There was good in it. But then there was also evil. Good. Partly good. Evil. I want you to follow me carefully. Because when we land to the application of this message, now I'm not making you fake promises. I don't need to prophesy over this. You will start to see things and life. You will start to see, realize many things. I know I can be saying this and people think, oh, pastor, you're repeating this. And why? Listen to me carefully. I don't have any other answers to give you apart from this. If I promise you anything beyond what the word of God says, I'm lying to you. If I promise you that I can help you beyond this, I may try. But I'm only a man. What can I do for you? What I'm telling you is that you follow this path and then suddenly we land somewhere, you will look back and have the answers to some of the questions you've been asking yourself. It says, but of this tree has knowledge of good. First of all, something good in it. But then there's something evil. So why was it so bad that they had to be pushed out of Eden? Why was it so bad that this thing changed everything? Now, let's look at it this way. So we know the consequence is death. Now, before we get there, let's look at what their life looked like before they ate of this. Genesis 2:25. Life before they ate the tree. Let's look at what their life looked like before they ate the tree. Genesis, it says, and they were both naked, right? The man and his wife. And they were not ashamed. That is life before they ate. They were both naked, two of them, the man and his wife. And they were not ashamed. That was life. Now, let's look at their life after they ate the tree. Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. Let's compare the two, then we'll come back to the middle. Follow me carefully. Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. He said, this is after they ate of the tree. Now, they possess knowledge of good and what? Evil. They have this knowledge now. This is their reaction. So, when God called out to them, this is what Adam says. He said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid. I was naked. Remember, before they ate it, they were naked in the presence of God. They were not afraid. They were not ashamed. Suddenly, they ate it now. Once they ate it, look at what he said. I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was what? Naked. Now he's aware of his nakedness. You see where the tree is already starting to walk. Now he's aware. First of all, he was unashamed because he was unaware. Now he is of this. Boom. He has a knowledge of good and of evil. And then suddenly he realizes that he's afraid. And look at that. He says, I was afraid. First of all, the first thing this fruit produced in them was fear. Fear was the first thing. I was afraid. Why do you be afraid? Did God tell them, look at this. Did God tell them, Adam and Eve, make sure that you are not naked before me. If you are naked before me, I'll be angry. He never told them that. But now they have a consciousness in them. And the work of that consciousness is to weigh good and bad, good and bad. So when you do good, it tells you the good you've done is not good enough. When you do bad, it uses the good bad, the good side to condemn you. And so that's the struggle of man. He says, and I hid myself. Look at that. I was afraid because I was afraid to hid myself. Now, I don't know whether you can find this movie, but I think if you can, please look for it and watch it. There's a movie called The Invention of Lies. Anybody seen it before? The Invention of Lies. Have you seen it? Good. The Invention of Lies, I think it was 1996 or something, 99, I can't remember. It's The Invention of Lies. You know what the movie is about? When you watch some of those movies, some of them have biblical truth in them. Just look, listen to me. Just because a movie was made by one church group doesn't mean it's Bible. For example, how many of you know that The Lion King is the story of the gospel? The Lion King, the movie. How many of you know that? Okay. You see, The reason you didn't know is because you were not looking for that in the movie. If the movie was made by somebody with a cross and Mount Zion, they call it Mount Zion, whatever, then suddenly you are paying attention. No, the story of the Lion King was the story of the gospel. Now, watch this. That movie is a community where they didn't know that they could lie. Am I right, sir? They didn't know they could lie, so nobody was lying. They couldn't know. They didn't know. They didn't have the knowledge that you could lie. So, if somebody is fat, they will tell you, sir, man, you are very, very fat and ugly. Nobody was offended. They didn't know they could lie. There's this scene where the guy's mom was in the hospital. The doctor called him and said, hey, man, look, you better go grab some coffee because your mom is definitely going to die, you know? you know, he just gave it to him. Boom, boom, boom. Nobody was lying. If your dress is not good, they said, where did you bring this dress from? It's very ugly. Nobody was lying. Then suddenly, somebody discovered that they could lie. Somebody discovered that one person. I can't remember the details of the story. Do you have the movie? Do you have it? Okay. Please, if find it. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube. It's called The Invention of Lies. These things are because, number one, they had no knowledge of lies. You see how the society operated without lies until one person discovered they could lie. And suddenly the man became a very great man because he could not manipulate things. He could not manipulate people. He could not manipulate situations. But when nobody had the knowledge, think about that. Nobody had the knowledge that you could lie. There was no lie. Now, this is very important for us to understand because it gives us an idea of what God wanted. Because in the beginning, the Bible says these people were naked and unashamed. And I used this example last Sunday with the children. You know these kids, if you allow them, they will come up here and remove all their clothes. In fact, I'll be dancing for you. Until we start to tell them shame, shame, shame. Suddenly, they know knowledge. Somebody say knowledge. Oh, let me hear you say knowledge. We've now impacted them the knowledge that creates fear, that creates shame. And why is it that this knowledge leads to death? Follow me. Listen. This was so bad that God now said, he said, let us remove them. Ben, look for that. I think it's still in Genesis 3 where they were pushed out of Eden. God now said, hey, look, man has now become like us. First of all, remember what the devil said to them. The devil said to them, the day you eat of this fruit, you shall become like God, knowing good and evil. And for all the time we've been reading the Bible, we said that the devil lied to them. But that phrase was not a lie. That phrase was not a lie. That particular phrase, the day you shall eat of this, your eyes will open and you know good and evil. Because that's exactly what happened. But what the devil did was to use a truth to push them to a lie. But that was true. But go down, Ben. Look for where he says, behold, man has become like us. Because we want to confirm that and tell you why they had to be removed from Eden. Why they had to be removed. Because what happened is that once they partook of this, suddenly God says, no, you got to remove them from this place. Okay, so everybody look up, is verse 22. Look up now. It says, then the Lord God said, behold, listen to me now. In fact, just look up. Behold, the man has now become like one of us. Is that what the devil told them? Yes. God is confirming this. He said, now, look, he has become like us to know good and evil. Now, in other words, by part, this tree was also a part of God. This tree was also a part of God because God is the being who knows, has the knowledge of good and evil. but can only do good. Somebody say amen. Because once man knew this, it made him a different kind of being. Because now, he has what it takes. Remember, the knowledge comes first before the doing. The knowledge comes first before the doing. The reason you didn't start to steal meat from the soup immediately you were born and start to walk and talk, because you were not aware you could do that. And then suddenly, one day, a friend told you how they steal meat from the soup. And then suddenly, you start to see the reality. Think about it, friends. What the world will look like when man has no knowledge. Because with knowledge comes capacity. If you have no knowledge of evil, you can't do evil. If there's no knowledge of evil, you can't do it. You can only do it because you have it. So, let me wrap this section up by saying this. What this tree produced in them was a conscience. What this tree produced in them was what human beings call conscience. You know, some people say, I leave you to your conscience. Have you heard that before? I leave you to your... Because your conscience is a judge. You know, you can do something wrong and come and pretend and lie to everybody. But when you go home, even as you're going home, your heart is pounding. Boom, boom, boom. Because something inside of you is telling you you're a bad man. It's a voice that's there. So when we say to people, we commend you to your... Even in church, we ask people, we commend you to your conscience. No, no, no. It's only... And we get to that. It's a conscience that has been purified that can guide us. It's not this one. Because this one is there to produce two things. It's like half and half. One side good, one side evil. That is why, no matter how evil a man is, there's also some good aspect of him. You know that, right? Hitler was the most evil man. But I watch his documentaries a lot because I like history. You see that he had a wife that he loved dearly. He even had a dog that he loved dearly. There were people that he was so good to that when he was ready to die, those people, a couple, made up their mind to die with him. But when you hear the name Hitler, evil is what comes to your face. But there are those who will tell you that he's the best man they ever met. To the point that they were ready. Not they were ready. They gave up their lives for him. When everybody left, they stayed with him. No matter how good a man is, there's also evil in him. So you see some people, they come out, they look perfectly good. They talk good. And I say this to people, only if I can wire a microphone and a video inside your head and your mind and come and play it. When I play it here, you will run. You will take off. You will take off. We are going somewhere. Because man has to understand what his limits are and then to know where the answer is. Somebody say amen. Let me say another amen. Okay, so here's the point. Ben, look for, go back to Genesis, and I want to look for it in a different translation now. Go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. Look for it. I'm looking for, there's a translation that puts that as conscience. That's what I want to show you. Look, do you have the Message translation? Look for that there. Genesis chapter, where it says, commanded eat of the tree of the garden. Continue. It's either that or the amplification. I don't know. You have to go look for that. Because there's a translation that pointed out clearly that what this tree produced in them was a conscience. You should do some of these assignments so that, you know, you follow along. All right. Okay, so it produced in them a conscience. And that conscience is the reason why today, even when you are doing something bad, in fact, your body starts to react. Somebody even trying to do something bad, your body starts to react adversely. Now, it was very, very important. Because what God wanted, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. What God wanted was a people without the knowledge of good and evil. Okay. Even before he made the world, God had already chosen us through our union with Christ so that we would be holy. Look at that. We would be holy and without fault before him. Praise God. Without fault because of his love. Now, I'm going up, back, down, because we got to understand this. Remember, we started in the book of Ephesians. We're going back to Genesis. You cannot understand the story of Genesis until you understand what Christ did. It's the revelation of the New Testament that gives us an understanding of the Old Testament. Like Paul, we cannot look back and say, behold, this is the mystery of what God has been trying to do or did from the beginning. It's been made available to us. It's very important you key in here, because look, until we come to that realization, personal, intimate, precise, accurate knowledge. The knowledge is personal, is intimate, is precise. Look, your faith will be running on, in fact, you're running on a borrowed faith. You're running on your pastor's faith or your church faith. No, it must be precise, accurate, personal, intimate. And that's what we're going through this journey. Now, this tree here was so bad that God said, let us send them away from the garden so that they will not also eat of the tree of life, because you can't have both. If we go very clear now, you now begin to understand that the same choice between for Adam and Eve in the garden is see the same choice before man today. It's a choice between life and death. And God said it this way to the Jews. He said, I put before you life and death. Choose life that you may live. And so God said, let us push them out, because if they eventually partake of the tree of life, now what you have is a human being who has the knowledge of good and evil who lives forever. Please, let's go to Genesis 3:22. Let's take a look at that. Genesis 3:22. It says, then the Lord God said, look, the human beings have become like us. Now they are like us. In what way? Knowing both good and evil. What if they reach out, take fruit from the tree of life and eat them? If they eat it, what is going to happen? What will happen? They will live forever, the Bible says. So what would that mean is that you have a human being who probably is, did you know that what we call sickness, evil, those things came after the fall? So it was this sin here that produced sickness, that produced malice, jealousy, and all things. So if they eat of this tree here, what will happen is that now you have a man who can do good and evil, who can also be sick, but he will not die. What would be the end of that is that it becomes impossible to redeem man. Man cannot be redeemed. So if you look at it very well, death was even out of love, not a punishment. Death was out of love. Let me begin to tie this up here by saying this. Listen to me carefully. Today, from the pulpit, you are going to be fed from either of these trees. On a Sunday, you are going to be fed either from the tree of life or from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so this is why you have to be careful in what you're eating. Remember, it didn't say the tree of evil. It says the tree of is the tree that presents you the knowledge and understanding of what is good for you to do and what is evil for you not to do. Unfortunately, what does it produce in man? A capacity to do bad. At the end of it all, God decided to make another arrangement. And that's what I'm going to be talking about from next Sunday. I'm going to be talking about exactly what is this tree of life? What does it represent? And who is this tree of life? That's when the choice becomes clearer. And that's when you know now what I've been saying, that the arrangement God was making from the first time is to unite us in Christ. that Christ was never something that God came up with because Adam fell. No. What God intended, let me say this here, that the purpose, there's no other purpose for which heaven and earth was created if not to unite man and God in Christ. That Christ was the center of creation. That Christ was the reason heaven and earth was created. That this thing that you are now, that this man that you are now, that this person you are now, has always been the purpose of God for creating the heavens and the earth. That this man you are now in Christ is the reason heavens and the earth was created. Not just earth. Because they said God was in heaven. But if you read Genesis clearly, he said God created the heavens and the earth. That means he was somewhere before he created the heavens and the earth. It's a misreading of the Bible when we start to say God was in heaven and then he created the earth. No, the Bible says he created the heavens and the earth. All of them were created for the same reason. And when you get to follow and understand, you now realize that, okay, this is why this was. This is why this was. Why is this knowledge very powerful? Because not only has the devil lost the battle over your life, but you too are very convinced about it. You start to realize that your life is not some accident somewhere. You start to realize that this born again thing is the greatest thing, like I said last Sunday, that being born again is the greatest thing that can happen to any human being. So why are we born again and not manifesting? Because we just don't know. It's now I start to realize that in fact most of the things we say and do is because we are still ignorant of identity. We are still very ignorant of identity. You are still very ignorant of the man that you are. You are still very ignorant of how blessed you are. You are still very ignorant of how powerful you are. And so we go this journey, and finally, it opens up to us. Somebody say amen. We are going to be talking about that. Realize here, please, and relate. As I round this up here, what this tree gave them is a knowledge of good and of evil. Any man who has that knowledge will eventually die. What is it that Christ has done for us today? If we understand it, you find out that we can operate outside of this knowledge. We can operate outside of it. Imagine what your life and relationship with God would be when the Bible says they were naked and they were unashamed. Imagine what your relationship with God will be when you are restored, when you begin to understand what it means that before God you are naked but you're unashamed because you are not aware of it. That you live your life not a man, a woman, that your conscience is beating you back and forth. Now, that's where we are brought back into. Now, when we're done with that, I'll now go back again and start to teach what it means to be born again. Because we said born again was just to be born. No, you realize that to be born again is to go back and submit to this original creation. Now, that's what born again means. That where Adam failed, you and I have passed. Somebody say amen. That where Adam failed, you and I have passed. Listen, friends, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be wonderful. I kid you not. The reality of this whole thing becomes evident. Suddenly, it becomes evident. Now, this is not one of those things they used to say. Suddenly, your eyes opens. And then you realize that this God, when we sing this God is too good, that truly this God is too good. It's not a cliche. And then you start to realize that the story of your life does not depend on the hand of anybody. That what you become has already been established by God. You are not trying to become something. You are. The seed is in you. Somebody say amen. And then the path of life is clearer and clearer to everybody. That's what we're going to. I'm excited, and I think you should be. Somebody say amen. I'm excited about that. Listen, this whole thing, the power of the devil is in this. I said this last Sunday. Let me round up there. The power of the devil is in this. It's not in the way they made it seem. It's not like, you know, the devil has so much power. He will come and you want to stand up from the bed. He will come and hold you down from the bed. No, the power of the devil is in his ability to deceive. That deception is not really lying. It's a covering the truth so you don't know it. He knows that your power rises once you are aware of the truth. No wonder Jesus says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Set you free. We shall know the truth. I look forward to your manifestation. Somebody say amen. Amen. I look forward to your light shining. Somebody say amen. Amen. I look forward to your hands working signs and wonders. Somebody say amen. Amen. I look forward to the greater manifestation of glory of God showing forth in your life. Amen. Suddenly, we can look at you and say, that man is born again. Not because you say too much grammar, but it's evident in your life. Suddenly we can say, that sister is born again. Because the manifestation. This whole thing is about life. It's life. Because we can see the manifestations accurately, plainly. I don't know how long this is going to take us. Like I said last Sunday, I'm already writing a book on this. So please, let's continue to pray. Keep our mind open. Go back. This message will be posted on Monday. Go and listen to the one of last Sunday and this Sunday. And then in the home churches this week, we'll continue this discussion. Bow down your heads. Let me pray. Thank you, Father.
Thank you for listening to this message. At Grace Life, we believe in exposing our listeners to the truth of the gospel of Jesus. If you want to listen to more messages like this, or to fellowship with us, follow us on Facebook at Grace Life Family Church Abuja, or visit our website at www.gracelifeabuja.org. For questions and counseling, you may call 0803-113-8031.